Hello and welcome back to Liner the Left. I am Delempo, alongside me Leah Chocolis and Ian Kist. All right, today is all about RMU versus Penn State. Mm-hmm. Our thoughts, our breakdown. They only had two games. That's all they played so far in conference.
My biggest
nothing in conference, but it's not conference.
I mean, yeah. My bad, non-conference.
But since Florida
and the regular season,
yeah.
But. With all the rain and the crappy weather, Mother Nature's not been nice to us so far.
No. And my question is, why did they lose the first game 7-9 and then they won?
I can answer perfectly for you,
Liam. That's
what
I want to know.
Well, they committed two errors in the first game that resulted in a six-run inning, and they actually had the lead for quite a while, and I don't know, like, it seems to be a trend with them that they always seem to give up the lead, even though they have it for, like, a substantial amount of time, mm-hmm. And they got it going in the first inning. They ended up having a couple of runners on base, they had stolen bases, which was very nice to see, and just keeping the offense going, and actually they had a return player, Brianna Bonner, returned from having a injured ankle. She was out for a couple of weeks. That is a big miss, but now that she's back, she helped the offense get back into the swing of things. Don't mind my pun. Just a little softball pun. They honestly, the first game that they played, they did spectacular through the first two innings with scoring, but it's just the errors and not getting the lead runners out. I mean, you can't help that all the time. And honestly, in the pass balls, just that can't happen.
So they were postponed for the past three games. My question is, how will they play on Sunday without playing since March 28th?
That can honestly be a good thing or be a terrible thing. I mean, they were supposed to play St. Francis last Friday, or March 30th. They were supposed to play Niagara today, but that was postponed because of the rain. And they actually had a scheduled doubleheader this coming weekend. Mm-hmm. And that was also postponed. That was supposed to be against Fairleigh Dickinson. And their next game's not supposed to be until Sunday, April 8th. And that's away. So I can't imagine, like, as, like, a player, you need to be able to have that in-game experience, and not having that since late March, and not having that kind of down-to-earth kind of experience that can also go for a team or go against them. I mean, everybody in Pittsburgh is going to have that crappy weather. You're not on the field, but you need to, honestly, they just need to knuckle down and be like, okay, we're not going to let this weather get to us. We just need to go in hard-minded and just go for it.
Yeah, but they haven't played any games since then. Like, do you think that their play is going to be good, or are they going to
be
bad?
I think they'll be fine. I mean, I think, like you said, just them not being out there for a while will definitely give them, you know, the urge that they need. And then, you know, it's conference time, so it's go time. So, like, they have to be ready. There's no more non-conference where you care if you win, but again, you don't. At the same time, you don't care if you win. But conference is what gets you in the NCAA tournament, so it's won championships when you're in the NEC. So I think they'll be fine.
I mean, we never know, because this team always seems to surprise me. They play their best, and then they fumble a few games. I mean, they did have a substantial amount of a losing streak. That's not good to see, but they've broken that with when they played Penn State the second time at 7:30, and they won 5-0. And I honestly think they kind of looked at the first game and thought about what they need to do, how they need to go into it, and didn't they actually they pitched the same pitcher the second game also. If I, correct me if I'm wrong.
RMU?
Yes, RMU pitched the same.
Yeah, Alzi.
Yes.
She, yeah.
She got the starts for both games, and I honestly think that could be, that's a good kind of contrast to see her a second time. That kind of pushes her to be more diverse than the first game. And I honestly appreciate the coaching staff for doing that. On the flip side,
she's
that could...
She's her ace.
Yeah, she is the ace, but you honestly don't want to use your ace constantly because she will get worn out. She won't be able to get into the nitty-gritty of the season.
The pitch count, she... I didn't get the exact numbers, but it was over 200 pitches at the end of the day combined for both games. Because in the first game, she had over 100. Exactly... 103, and then the next game.
That's not actually bad for an NEC softball game. I've watched pitch counts hit over 150, even
next 200,
even 200. Honestly, that's a very good pitch count for both games. I mean, that's a little hard on the arm, you can imagine. I mean, can't imagine how sore she must be, but you condition for that. You go through the motions. But, I mean, that's a good in a, it could have been bit them in the butt just as easily. Because, I mean, even though Penn State's not is a little bit ranked underneath us, you need to win those battles and just really go for what you want as a team and what you want to go for as the player themselves. And honestly, like, it's really hard to go through a game where it's just you're playing two games and then you're like, we're off for a week because of the rain. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't even think they'll get into playing any more games until at least another week and a half. Especially because they're supposed to be back.
You don't think they play Sunday?
I doubt they will play Sunday. Yeah. I mean, maybe they'll play on the 11th, but not even then. Like, that's going to be a close... With the field being all washed out and it being so cold, like, you run the risk of getting injured even more than when it's super hot. I mean, in personal opinion, being in the cold is harder on the body, harder on the bats, and it hurts a lot more trying to pitch because you can't feel the ball coming out of your fingertips.
And it kind of, like, stiffens you up.
Especially in
the running.
Well, in the outfield, like, you're not doing much because... With the ball's not bouncing off the bat the way it's supposed to, you basically just stand there the whole entire game, and you're basically just getting all stiff, you're cold, and especially if it rains during the game, like, that's the worst.
Yeah, especially in the cold, too.
Like, the freezing rain, and you can't feel your hands, and that's not the best softball conditions, but you learn to live with it as a player.
And they grind through it.
I mean...
Find the light at the end of the tunnel.
I mean, I would hope that, they might have a better chance going to Mount St. Mary's on Sunday because it's in Maryland, but that's a stretch. But, I mean, they're supposed to come back here on the 11th to play against the Bonaventure. I wasn't going to try and butcher the name. I did not know how to pronounce that name. I was not going to do that.
It's been like five times to actually... That name down. Bonaventure.
I mean, some of the names, they're not hard to pronounce. It's just like when you look at them, it's like,
how do you pronounce that?
It's the first initial glance, like, how do you pronounce that? Mm-hmm. But anyway,
yes.
I mean, I honestly, like, the pitching staff that, the pitcher for RMU did a fantastic job. She kept the Lions to a hold for the most part. The first game, the biggest producer of the game was the Army Colonials were fairly even. They had very nice base running, fielding was on spot, even though the two errors, but they had a couple doubles, triples, and just all around nice hitting and just getting the ball out of the infield and making things happen. Let's see. Elsley had, she pitched four innings and then they lost, but she actually only had five hits, runs. They only had one error committed to them. But when I look at this, she had six walks.
In both games, too.
In both games. That is not entirely acceptable because those are unearned runs that could possibly come.
Teams are going to take advantage of that. I mean, Penn State, not a great team at 5-20.
But you get a better team, not like, I get it, like, for example, St. Francis. Like, they're a better team, but they will capitalize on those missed pitches, on the runners on the bases. And they'll just take advantage of every little thing that you give them. You can't give them the little things. Mm-hmm. And with the errors, they need to keep that to a minimum. And, I mean, she had three strikeouts, which is impressive to a point. But when you have, I mean, Penn State's pitcher had a fairly decent run herself. I mean, the first pitcher gave up three runs, two base on balls, and two wild pitches, and then she hit two batters. So, I mean, that went good for RMU. The second pitcher for the Lions, she had seven hits, four runs, and they were earned, and she had seven strikeouts. That's seven Colonials that were struck out, either looking or swinging. And that's, you want to keep those to a minimum. And with the second game, I mean, they had a much better time with hitting and everything. Let's see, what do we have for the second?
It's kind of like they realized that they need to step their game up. And
no errors.
No errors. That's
cost runs. And
errors do cost.
Want to win 5-0, want to shut out. It comes down to errors. I mean, pitching and errors, but, you know, six walks. They also, LZ able to get out of jams. I mean, you know, you put runners, six runners on, she put six runners on base via walks and limited three hits. So, I mean, you know, we saw nine base runners. That's what you got to do to be successful, and especially against, you know, Penn State. I think, you know, they're 5-21 after that game. But, you know, a 5-0 win over Penn State, just the name, I think, gives this team, you know, confidence. And, you know, it's unfortunate they weren't able to get back on the field since this game. You know, they were, you know, this 5-0 win heading into conference play, I mean, I don't think it could have been any set up any better in a way. But then, you know, Mother Nature not with you.
Mother Nature, and very, you're thinking, very much against.
You know, in softball and baseball, it's all up to her. Yeah. But, you know, that would have been cool to see. But, again, I think, you know, this 5-0 win was, see if it was their first shutout of the year.
I don't think so, actually.
No, they won Lafayette. But other than that. Lafayette was, they lost, they've been shut out.
Yeah, they've been shut out quite a few times. I don't think they have shut out anybody so far this season.
Yeah, Lafayette.
But, yeah, Lafayette, February 16th. I mean, that was a good win. But I think what you were talking about with the confidence, I think that's a big part of it. Like, when you don't have confidence, when you don't have trust in your team, that's when things go awry. And, I mean, do I think the team has trust in each other? Yes and no. But it needs to show on the field, and it needs to show off and on the bench too. Like, you need to have everybody up and ready, cheering, but not even cheering, just being like being in the game and not being like sitting on the bench, like talking about this, talking about that, and
Team effort.
Yeah, team effort. It's, I mean, honestly, you have to be ready. I mean, did they return Brianna Bunner to the field, which was a good win for them because she has amazing offense, and I honestly, she's a big part of what they are as a, not like a big part, but she's a decent part. She's one of their outfielders. She's a big contributor to the offense. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest things they need to do is just keep confident. Don't get frazzled when an error happens, because once you let one error get into your head, then another one happens, and it all just goes downhill.
It's like they're a veteran team, kind of. They're as sophomore juniors. A few.
That's technically what, like, technically they are a upperclassman team, but the upperclassmen, they have a huge sophomore class.
Yeah.
And that does play into the team, because they are sort of young, sort of not, but
they're in the middle, and they're kind of, it's like they're kind of finding their way to where they need to find, kind of like find themselves.
I mean, they're losing four seniors. They only have, I think, they have a few juniors, but like that sophomore class is huge. They only have one freshman.
Yeah.
And I think they have like six coming in next year, but we're not going to talk about next season. Cause
no, not even there yet.
Not even there yet.
We got to start with the season.
But we got to get through, this season, which should be entertaining.
Hopefully we can finish the season.
Hopefully we can, I mean.
With play, have playing.
Yes.
Postpone.
Yeah. And honestly, with all the postponed games, like that can, honestly, like you can cut down on, like, you need, like, they're only going to make up the conference games. They're not going to make up the non-conference because they don't have time.
Yeah.
Because they only have about this much, they only have a small window of playing time. And they, honestly, they don't have a ton of freedom to let games get postponed by the rain.
Because yeah. Tournament starts on May 10th. Yeah. So like, they probably have a deadline when they need their games.
I bet it's
on a Thursday, so I bet it's May 6th.
Yeah.
I bet it's that Sunday.
Yeah.
Maybe that Monday.
Maybe even a little bit earlier, just to get, like, especially with, like, the later, like, the teams that started later because of either traveling, like, doing other tournaments, not starting the regular season right away. Mm-hmm. I mean.
And I don't see them pushing back the tournament. Starting on May 10th, if you like it or not. So
yeah, I don't, like, they
I
wouldn't.
I think after this weekend, you'll be good.
Yeah, I think so.
Games in.
But it's how many. My thing is, it's how many games do they want to fit in? How many games do they need to fit in? Because with playing every day at certain times, like, that puts a wear and tear on your body, and it makes you just tired. Like, you can't play to your best performance when you do. I mean, you could do, like, one game per day, but that just kind of, like, defeats the purpose. If you're just basically going on the field, like, throwing one leg out and having one leg in.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they play. Well, that fun fact here, that Kanisha's game.
Yeah.
Isn't even on the schedule anymore. So that means they're not going to play, most likely. I may be wrong, but that's what I'm going to gather from that.
I mean, that's what we talked about earlier. That
then, yeah, I mean, I don't think they make up Niagara.
I doubt it.
I can fit in, I don't think. Wait, Kanisha's has been moved to May 1st.
What? What do you know?
Yeah, Tuesday.
And then St. Francis moved to May 2nd.
So they are.
Okay. But look, if they have to cancel more games, they'll just fit it in Tuesday. That we can play on that Tuesday.
They moved Fairleigh Dickinson to May 5th.
Yeah, because it's easier to get St. Francis here, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I bet Fairleigh Dickinson said they can only play on May 5th. And St. Francis said, okay, you can move us back to Wednesday.
I mean, it's fair trade. I mean, they'll be, that week of, the first week of May, they're going to be away, home, and then home. And then they go right into. Basically, they have 5 days from Fairleigh Dickinson. If nothing else changes, they have 5 days from Fairleigh Dickinson to then they go right into the tournament. Yeah. And
which doesn't give them that much time.
But it gives
kind of.
It gives them time to rest, but it also gives them time to regroup, mm-hmm. and really focus on what they need to enhance going into the tournament and what they've seen, what they need to, like, depending on who they play, like. Obviously, they'll be doing their homework and focusing on how they played, what they do, like, the pitching staff, the batter's tendencies, like, the whole nine yards. But at just looking at the schedule, they do have a stacked schedule. Like, it's either even next week,
it's packed.
It's almost every single day. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have home games, and they travel, and then they have home games again. I mean, that's a fair trade. I mean, you don't always want to keep traveling. That's kind of stupid, I think.
Yeah.
But
it used to be like that happy medium.
Yeah, when you travel, you come home. You travel, you come home. Especially because, I mean, like, being a freshman myself, I don't know if we have a huge, like, do we have a huge turnout for softball games? But I don't know.
Well, depends.
And that's what I figured.
Yeah, I mean, on a nice Sunday, Saturday, yeah. Rainy, cloudy, cold day, no.
And I mean, in my high school, rain, snow, sleet, or hail. We had, our parents would just show up in their parkas, their blankets, their umbrellas.
Well, it's because it's parents. Yeah, these parents are going to show up too.
Yeah,
but
like fans.
The student body probably wasn't going to show up in those games.
No. Yeah, I can understand that. Fun fact, I was over the spring holiday, the lacrosse team played, and some of the hockey players stayed here. And all the hockey, like all the remaining hockey players went to the games and they were just shouting at the other team. That was so funny. I thought that was hilarious. But that's what I would want for the team, because they work hard. I mean, they do have their bumps and bruises every once in a while. But I mean, speaking of bumps and bruises, I mean, we've been talking about Brianna Bunner coming back from her ankle injury. I mean, Ashley Gruber is possibly out for the rest of the season with a knee injury. We don't know what happened there. It was just a little tidbit of a rumor, like she's been in a knee brace. I've seen her around campus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we hope for a
quick recovery,
especially because she's a senior, and right,
junior,
1 year off.
1 year off.
So close.
She is a junior.
Yeah, but you definitely want to be a part of the season,
mm-hmm.
like not be sitting on the bench the whole entire time. Like sitting on the bench sucks.
At least it isn't her senior year though. Because that would suck even more if it was her senior year.
I eventually met people that have gotten hurt their senior year, couldn't play at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they've told me it
sucks.
Especially when you work so hard to get your position and then just ripped away just like that by even sliding into a base wrong, turning an ankle, or just something minuscule that turns into, like, the biggest, like an ACL injury or an MCL or an ankle injury. I mean, that's the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Especially getting it in the middle of the season, or like even getting it in the preseason when you're doing tournaments and you're like, well, how do I basically go from the beginning of the season where I did fine, injured, how do I come back from that? That's the mindset of what the Colonials need to have, is I need to think about how I was in the beginning of the season, how do I need to improve, how do I translate that into the end of the season?
Yeah, that's where they need to be.
Let's see, up and coming, they should play Mount St. Mary's on Sunday at 2, next Wednesday at 3, that's here, and that can be watched on NEC Front Row, and you can get the live stats frequently updated pitch by pitch, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then next Saturday, they go to LIU Brooklyn. And then they travel to Connecticut.
Which, I mean, that distance isn't that far away, probably like an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 maybe.
And, I mean, they get two different hotel rooms, 2 different days. They basically get on the bus after the game, or stay the night, get up early, and travel. I don't know which one's worse.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I always hated traveling early in the morning. I have to play a game at, like, noon or, like, 8 a.m.
Yeah, you're so tired. All you want to do is just, like, lay in the hotel room and not get on a bus and travel.
But at least the distance between LIU Brooklyn and Sacred Heart isn't terribly far, but they need to bring 2 different ideas of how to play, because, I mean, they're both NEC games, but they're 2 different, completely different staffs and 2 different schools. But how they need to go in between non-conference and conference play, they need to kind of view them as the same, but not the same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you need to win, obviously, but you need to also have the consciousness to be like, okay, I can make a few mistakes, but they can't get to me, because if I let that get to me, well, that'll just turn the tables and give the advantage to the other team.
They need to stay, like I said last time, they need to stay consistent.
Stay consistent, stay positive, and just have tighter defense, greater offense, and tighter pitches. And, like, we keep iterating, like, these are the little things, the little things that can go into the big picture. Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, I honestly, this game is my life, so this was, and, like, picking this apart is one of my favorite things to do, because I do this anyways.
Yeah.
And, let's see, what else? I mean, in your opinion, what do you think they could do better? Like, just like opinions, what do you think they can do better on that we've had already said, but can kind of twist on it? What do you think, Leah?
Like I said, you know, just stay consistent and then like what you said, stay positive. I feel like there's a difference between practice and game time, and I'm pretty sure that they're practicing. But so they're getting some game in, some play in at least. But I really don't know. I just think that they need consistency and positivity and patience.
I think they need like a little spark to get them through like the postponage. And I love how you said that practice is not real game experience. A lot of people think that, oh, you practice like real game situation. But I mean, you can practice that all you want.
But it's not the game.
It's not the game. Like,
yeah.
Like, you can have that weird spin off the ball and it goes into two completely different directions. Like, as you try to pick up the ball, it spins out of your hand because it has so much backspin on it. Mm-hmm. And you can practice that, especially because they practice on a turf field, but they play on a real field. So that is a big difference. And with not being out of practice on a real field, that gives them a disadvantage, I would think.
Yeah, like, what you're going to do in practice isn't what you're going to do during the game. And whatever happens in practice isn't going to happen during the game either.
And the ball bounces completely different on a turf field and on a real field. Like, the ball doesn't bounce, like, 3 feet in the air on a real field. I mean, it can if you get the right bounce, but not normally. Especially if the field is wet, it'll just die.
Yeah.
And if the field is dry, then it maybe bounce like 2.5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think, Ian?
They need to play like the second game of Penn State.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, 5-0, you know, you limit the hits, you get out of, you know, obviously the 6 walks isn't great, you know, limit that, but, you know, you clean that up. I mean, you get less runners off the base, but, you know, okay, Kalen Elsie Purvis, you can get, you know, out of jams, you know, 6 runners on base, you know, all on walks. But I think, yeah, the hitting, defense, and no errors, you play clean softball game, you're going to be successful. And that's what I think they needed that. And that's, you know, it proved that you play a clean game, you can win games. And that was, you know, you don't have any errors and you're going to win. And 8 out of 10 times you don't commit an error, you're going to win. And you also limit the team to 3 hits, you're going to win. So if you hit 7 like they did. So I think it is proof that they can go out and play a clean game. And that should, that, like I said, would have been nice if they would have played St. Francis right after that. But, of course, they didn't. And then I think they still have that confidence that they can play a clean game and they can win softball games and be successful.
How do you think they would have played if, say that the St. Francis game didn't get canceled, how do you think that game would have gone? Because, I mean, St. Francis is obviously a great program, but do you think they would have had enough confidence in themselves to, like, have enough, like, win that game?
Yeah. I mean, most definitely. I mean, that game was, you know, prove that you can, you know, go out there and do what you did and do that every time. You do it once, you can do it every time. Someone else may have to step up, but you can do it.
What do you think, Leo?
I think what Ian stressed on. I'm not too sure.
Well, guys, that's all we have time for today. We will see you next week, and we will hopefully have more games to talk about besides the doubleheader between RMU and Penn State. We will see you next week on Lighter to Left.